When it comes to home insurance, Geico works for you. And since I'm the Geico Gecko, I'm here working for you too.
Hey, Gecko, can you record my voicemail greeting?
No problemo.
You've reached the amazing Rita. She's probably busy right now teaching music theory to neighbourhood birds or telling a total stranger how they can bundle home and car insurance with Geico to get the discounts they deserve. But rest assured, she'll get back to you once she's done brightening her little corner of the world.
Did that sound all right?
Nailed it. No notes.
Let Geico work for you. Get more with Geico.
All right, guys, we're back on the Football Card Quest dedicated to football card research and selling tips. I'm your host, Andy Kazin. Got my main man, Steve, the eBay hitman, Caladesi, with me. We got the draft in the rear view. We're ready to start the off-season grind, and we're going to start it with a division breakdown of the AFC West. We're going to go team by team, player by player, and talk about the analysis around their projection for 2024, and then the football card analysis. What's so important on this channel, we're going to talk about a couple different tiers of their rookie cards and what they're selling for and what you guys need to know about their market. Steve, how you doing tonight, man?
Good, good. I've noticed there's a lot of new drafts on Underdog, Andy. A lot of new ones, so I'm pretty excited about that, and I'm excited to kind of hunker down and focus on a couple teams here tonight. Obviously, we'll talk about a couple other things, but really focus on, you know, some of the new acquisitions and maybe some other news that these players are involved in.
Yeah, I noticed there's a lot of Underdog best ball drafts. That's the place to do your early summer best ball drafting. I've actually, Steve, I've set up a second stream so we could dedicate this stream to the AFC West breakdown, the division breakdowns that we're going to do week to week. And then a second stream, we'll hop on there about 10:15 p.m. We're going to do start the after party, and that'll be the best ball Underdog draft. And it'll be really easy to hop over to that stream. But Steve, what team do you think we should start with? I mean, there is a lot of we got some recent news about Rashee Rice. Looks like he may be in another altercation. But we've got speculation and ambiguity around the Denver Broncos, the Las Vegas Raiders. This is a red-hot division, man. Where do you want to start?
Yeah, let's go Chiefs, man. Chiefs, Super Bowl Chiefs. Champs. Super Bowl champs. We might as well start off with the champs. Not having a bad offseason, but let's be honest, you don't want your top receiver burying himself before the season even starts. So I was thinking, you know, with the whole speeding thing, there was other elements involved, and then there was marijuana, and then there was, you know, the whole thing where he was involved in an accident, and then he was getting sued and all this other crap. So, I mean, I think he's going to probably miss half the season, Andy.
Yeah, I definitely think he's getting suspended for sure. And at this point, with as stuff keeps piling up, like you mentioned, yeah, it could end up being a good 8 games or so.
Well, I was going to say, I think the 8 games is where it's going to start with the speeding and other things that he did involving the speeding, all just from that one incident. Now he supposedly struck a cameraman or a media person yesterday or the day before. I mean, not a good series of events for anybody in any job or any career, especially one where you have all eyes and ears on you. So, I mean, this could be the kind of thing where he might miss the year. And that leads me to the next bit of information. They are bringing in a free agent, Andy, someone you know very well. What's his name? Zay Jones. Zay Jones is coming.
Has that been confirmed?
He's not signed, but he's coming in to meet with the team. So I think he'll probably sign.
So that's definitely going to change a little bit of what I'm about to throw up on the screen. All right, so I want to shout out a couple guys in the chat. We put a lot of work into these division breakdowns. This is the first of all 8 we're going to do in the league. And since because we don't have 32 weeks, and if we did one team per week, we're going to do 4 teams per week. And then we'll tweak our rankings and our projections and our what our recommended plays are as we go along. Like this Zay Jones addition is definitely gonna change a little bit of that depth chart, especially with Rashee Rice missing time. It kind of seems like it's a direct replacement there. But we got our guy Gabe Davis, Chog, Playa Free, and James in the house. Appreciate you guys. Make sure you hit that like button for us. Boost up in the algorithm. Let me throw up the screen, Steve, and show you what we put together here. Kick it off with the Chiefs and the quarterbacks. Head coach Andy Reid, two-time Super Bowl champions. All right. You think they're going to be able to three-peat this year under Patrick Mahomes? His rookie cards definitely feel like they have that baked into them.
Yeah. I mean, if anything, they got better. I don't doubt that for a second, but there's just one team that's been consistent with beating them, and that's one of my favorite squads, not the Bears, but the Bengals. And the Bengals have been the thorn in the side of the Chiefs. If Burrow can stay healthy, Andy, I think that, they get put on ice this season.
Yeah, it's definitely possible. So I'm looking at their quarterback depth chart, right? We love Andy Reid as a play caller. Chris Oladukun doesn't really do anything from 2022 seventh round draft pick. Ian Book fell flat on his face in New Orleans before heading here to KC as their number four. Carson Wentz, though, is the number two overall pick from 2016 as the backup to Mahomes. Definitely makes sense, as you can find a BGS 9 rookie ticket auto Carson Wentz that sold yesterday for $35. When you have that type of upside, if Mahomes were to go down, Carson Wentz cards would skyrocket in price. So in terms of backup quarterback, prospecting, you got to have Carson Wentz on your list. And, if you're buying Patrick Mahomes, like, his cards are insanely expensive. His base Prism card, which is just silver standard, that PSA 9 is $1,000. The raw is $800. It's a little bit benefit for the 9 because there's some fakes out there. People want that authenticity with a graded card for Patrick Mahomes. Silver Prism rookie auto, that's a PSA 10, $13,200. And it's really hard to find his rookie ticket autos, but the last one sold April 13th for $12,500 in a BGS 9 slab. So, I mean, super duper expensive, Steve. And if you're buying him and you're spending that kind of money, why not? You definitely have an extra $50 to buy a Carson Wentz rookie ticket auto, and you might as well hedge your bet.
Insurance policy, man. Definitely. Yeah, I mean, you're talking big gamble when you're talking backup QBs. It's a risk if the starter doesn't get hurt. Obviously, you don't materialize a gain, but now we saw how many starters last year get hurt. Wasn't it 12, 14, somewhere in that range? So it is definitely possible. And when that does happen, you're talking about now netting a lot of profit from that.
This is where things get interesting, Steve. The running back room for the Kansas City Chiefs has been run by Isaiah Pacheco as a seventh round draft pick from 2022. He really burst onto the scene with that incredible 98th, 99th percentile, just raw athleticism, just speed burst, man. And, he's developed nicely in Kansas City. He didn't have any rookie autos before now. I finally have found a couple rookie autos that just recently sold right here around draft time, a little bit before. They are event signed cards. Look how much they're going for, dude.
Damn.
Because he has no autos, the event signed autos for him, red, white, and blue Prism, sold for $400. They say they're JSA authenticated, so I'm guessing he got the JSA receipt from the show. And look at the base Prism, $225. I'm like, my word, that's what scarcity will do for you. Plus, put up over 1,000 yards last season. I mean, really, really broke out nicely.
You talk about guys that didn't lose any, if not gained, draft position going into this year. You got to think about Pacheco. Plus, Andy, we are missing Carson Steele. Gabe and I are big Carson Steele fans. He does have a Bowman first, but he does not have an auto either. So that is something that now another KC running back has in common.
So,
we signed him to a one-year deal, to be fair.
Okay. Well, I like Denaric Prince. So I was actually going to move to Denaric Prince because, if we were just to go off of that raw athleticism that really drove Isaiah Pacheco to the next level, then you got like a Denaric Prince too. He actually has 97th and 98th percentiles, height adjusted speed, meaning, you know, combining his size and 40-yard dash scored, as well as his, you know, his long jump and his vertical. So, and I've looked up his cards. They're very, very few and far in between. He's only got a handful of different rookie cards, primarily select draft picks. This is a 2023 undrafted free agent. So I imagine he's going to get a rookie ticket auto here eventually when Panini releases Contenders 2023. If it ever comes out, we have no release date yet. But he does have like a college uniform rated rookie as well. And but as you can see, like, they're not selling. Nobody's really buying Denaric Prince cards. And if you look at even Isaiah Pacheco's Silver Prism, True Silver Prism, PSA 10, $77 card. The raw, you can get that card for $5-$10. It gets a PSA 10, which is not an easy thing to do. It's less than 50% chance. You are going to make some money there, about $77. But Denaric Prince, like, I mean, he's another great handcuff at this point because of his all-purpose, like, just athleticism and size. And he's got very few rookie cards, and nobody's really buying them, and they're super dirt cheap.
Do we know – I know he's still listed on the NFL page on the roster, but the last bit of news I found on him was he got waived. So I don't know if he's back on the team or not.
Well,
he was a major, major, you know, camp hype type guy going into last year, and people were taking him in best ball drafts, and his name was becoming, you know, known in the fantasy community, but he didn't really get a lot of playing time. In fact, none of these guys really did. Pacheco was basically the guy, and they'd throw out like Jerick McKinnon, you know, 2-3 times a game. That's it.
Yeah, so if you can imagine, if anything were to happen to Pacheco with the volatility of the running back position, I mean, he's at age 24. There's new information that's coming out now that age 24 is actually the new age apex for running backs, and especially when it applies to like dynasty fantasy football. So when you consider that, I mean, this should be the peak season for Pacheco. I get it. But if he were to miss time, Denaric Prince steps up. This is a nice opportunity for him with a guy with very few rookie cards. Player Profiler has him best comparable to Zamir White, who we'll be talking about a little bit later on here, Steve. And then you have Keontae Ingram behind him, who's I mean, dirt cheap. And I didn't even waste my time pulling up the other guys. Tyreek and Hassan and LaMichael Pirine has you know, rookie cards as well, but I mean, they're all just like, you know, penny stocks.
Yeah, there's definitely worse gambles than a $2 auto of a guy who could see the field if there's an injury. So, for sure.
Yeah. So now we move on to the wide receivers, which there's a lot of ambiguity here. Got a busy page, but let's zoom in here on Rashee Rice. He's still selling, man. I got the little guy being arrested there.
Well, hey, it's justified.
Yes, I mean, he's 24 years old. So new information about age apex for wide receivers is more like 27, 28, because it does take them more time to develop in the league. It's obviously more of a finesse position. Rashee Rice is only 24. He's a second-round draft pick from last year. We don't have some of those flagship sets out, but just looking at his Prism rookie auto PSA 9 still sold yesterday. 13 bids, $90. That tells you that the raw is still selling anywhere from $60 to $90 as well. I mean, most of these 2023 Prisms are coming back nines. And then I looked up like the raw. This one's a little bit easier to find, jumped off from today, still selling, like going to buy it now for right under $10, which not the floor, you know, this card could just be a dollar. So people are still buying Rashee Rice.
You know, what's interesting is so Worthy, obviously there's people that think he's going to be just, outrageously good on this team. I have my reservations, but, talk about a guy with a little more track record with Marquise Brown. Obviously, he missed a couple games last year, but so did Kyler, missing a lot of the early season. But you're talking about being on the best team he's ever been on with arguably the best QB in the NFL. And now with Rice missing time, there may never be a better time to be Marquise Brown than right now.
No, this is his chance. He's set up. He's only on a one-year contract, Steve. So this is like a prove it, like, and then go earn your final contract of your career, like a mega contract, 3-4-year contract. So he's got a lot to play for this year. I think he's definitely going to have those spike games, and he shouldn't be priced too much lower than Xavier Worthy, because the only thing that scares me about Xavier Worthy is the little injuries that he incurred in college. He incurred quite a few injuries every year where it would hold him out a game here, game there, a couple games here. And he's got all the hype right now, Steve. I mean, if you look at the latest solds on him, look, you remember that one I sniped on round one draft night at the end of the night for $50? I've already made money on that. This isn't my sale, but this is a sale from 2 days. I haven't even opened the package yet for this card. You guys will definitely have to subscribe and wait for that mail day. But yeah, that card's gone up to 71. This is not even a serial number card, but it is his Bowman University Chrome First. Check out this one, dude. I found this card, which is it's a gold numbered out of 49, or like gold, you know, advertises gold or whatever, but SGC 9.5 auto 10 sold for $625 today in a buy it now, dude. $625.
That's outrageous, man. You know, here's the thing is, obviously the hobby revolves around, every time we say it, I cringe a little bit, but QBs, it's true. No denying it. But if you think that that is exclusively a way to card flip or whatever you want to call it, there's obviously exceptions to the rule. I mean, Andy shows proof on a week-to-week basis. There's more right there.
Yeah, there's more right there. And I'll even show you guys as we go through the stream, the Xavier Worthy rookie auto that I just showed you is selling for more than the Bo Nix rookie auto of the exact same set, of the exact same scarcity. And Xavier Worthy's got a lot of different rookie cards. They've been printing him since 2021, 2022. So if he stays healthy, obviously the expectations are baked in there. There's going to be a lot more cards coming out for him. So definitely stay tuned on that. Look at the price difference between like pro uniform, license on card rookie auto, Marquise Brown. Now these have gone up a little bit. I mean, look at this, May 5th, May 7th. So they're selling. You know, people are buying them. This is the rookie ticket auto for $50 here. So it's not like he's going for chump change, but he's definitely not anywhere near the ceiling either of what the upside could be. So you're kind of swinging for the fences in this one as well. He's just not the young, flashy, brand new draft pick. You know, a guy that they intentionally went to draft in the first round, you know?
Yeah, and unfortunately his value, you know, like we talk about it every year, if you're not the new shiny toy, obviously you get a little bit of back burner action. It takes a little bit more to pick you back up and put you back in the front row. But the guy has the skill. I can't remember if it was, I think it was actually not last year, but the year before, through the first 4 weeks, he was the wide receiver one. And unfortunately he missed some time after that and only played 12 games. But yeah, the guy is the real deal. It seems like just missing about 4 games a season has kind of been his major issue.
And, Steve, they play in 3 wide receiver sets almost 70% of the time. So they're going to have speed on speed on speed. I mean, the Chiefs really got richer out of this draft. They were able to also reinforce the offensive line. Overall projected to be 15th in the league, but I feel like they always end up playing better than they're ranked on paper. And probably a lot of that's due to coaching and play scheme as well. But I've looked at a couple different sources, and FTN Fantasy had them ranked 15th. Football Guys actually had them ranked much higher. It was like top 8, if I remember. I documented on the other teams, but I digress. Tight end, Steve, I mean, this is pretty much still the Travis Kelce show, especially with him extending his contract. His rookie ticket auto PSA 9, $512. I feel like his market has cooled off a little bit, but his raw prisms are still selling for $35. His silver prism rookie auto, which is serial numbered out of 99. This is a PSA 10 and sold for almost $2,000 last week.
Dang, that's a lot of money, dude.
Yeah. Now, they did draft his future replacement, potentially, in Jared Wiley out of the fourth round, 23 and a half years old. This guy has some pretty good athletic metrics here. And, you know, he has very, very few rookie cards right now, but best comparable to Logan Thomas, according to Player Profiler. And he's got some pretty decent measurables, man, across the board. So there's some promise there. The only thing that's holding him back maybe is the fact that he went to TCU. Not a lot of great receiving talents come out of TCU.
Yeah, and, you know, obviously he'll be bogged down by the depth chart, but he may see the field in sporadic sprinkles throughout the year, but not anticipating like a year one or even year two, unless there's an injury. Well, yeah, exactly. He's not that good, and plus he's buried behind Kelsey, which is like a death sentence. So
yeah. Yeah, but you know, with the amount of time it takes for tight end to develop, the fact that they are they just came out. So if you were to go to tcdb.com and look up a guy like Wiley or some of the other undrafted free agents we're going to talk about tonight, they're going to show up with either nothing on there or zero. But if you go to eBay right now, a brand new sets have been released since the draft, including 2024 Sage high number football, and then also 2024 Leaf metal and 2024 Pro Set Pure. There are some interesting sets. I mean, he's not going to be in all of it, but you can see right here, there's a couple cards, some peak performance, the Sage. These do sell. These do sell. Not necessarily for Jared Wiley. You know, okay, you have a guy buy one today for $6. But for some of the other guys you see me talk about tonight, they are selling. Look, there's a Jared Wiley Sage High Series. $30, man, with a rainbow foil. It's not serial numbered, but rainbow foil is probably a little bit more rare than the base. Yeah, it's going to be a little bit more rare than the base.
True. Yeah, I mean, I think unless the guy's going to start, this is just a broad statement. If they're not starting or they don't have a path to starting, there's going to be better buys throughout the season on guys like that.
Yeah. And we can't forget that they do have Irv Smith on the roster, who I've been in love with before, man. I've been a big Irv Smith buyer, but the guy can manage to stay healthy. And then when he was healthy, he did not execute, man. I just don't think he's got the work ethic or the drive to succeed in the NFL. So now he's buried as the number four here on KC. And I think that's going to be about it for his career. But he's still pretty young. He's only 25.7 years old.
Yeah. Hey, man, and Noah Gray still gets some love. Not as much as when Kelsey got hurt last year, but I still see some respectable Noah Gray sales from time to time. So he would be the next man up if there was an early season injury, at least in the interim.
Hey, what's up, Filthy? Late stick in the house. Joel, CEH. This is news to me. Signed a one-year deal with KC, so he's going to be back in the mix. Plus, we had Zay Jones.
I think he's visited several teams, Andy, but I got to think he signs here. It just makes too much sense. And, you know, he's 28 years old. He's had several knee problems. He's still playing at a high level. You got to feel like he wants to win a championship. So where would you go, right? I feel like he's probably thinking he wants to go there. Obviously, unless money's his only motivator, there's probably a higher bidder out there. But it just makes too much sense. And given the style of play for the Chiefs, he's an immediate must-own guy, 100%.
Immediate. All right. I'll let you pick, Steve. Chargers, Raiders, Broncos.
Ooh, Let's go Broncos.
Broncos, they're a fun one, man. They got a lot going on. It's the Sean Payton show now. It's the Sean Payton show.
DiNucci.
All right, yeah, DiNucci's been cut from the team. Sean Payton show, putting his stamp. This is what he's going to be known for. He's either going to revive this team or go out in a blaze of glory with this this latest draft here, taking Bo Nix at the 1.12. Just couldn't resist, man. So he's got Bo Nix there to compete with Zach Wilson and Jared Stidham. Zach Wilson, as you can see, number two overall pick from 2021. Such a great draft class there with Trey Lance and Justin Fields, who's now backing up Russell Wilson in Pittsburgh, and Trevor Lawrence. Potentially fielding kick returns. So somebody commented on my Instagram post. I can't remember who it was, but I think they were unsure about, and I guess it's not 100% guaranteed, but let's be real here. Denver spent a lot to draft Bo Nix at the number 12 overall pick. Sean Payton has no vested interest in Stidham or Wilson and literally fired Russell Wilson. So Bo Nix is going to be his starting quarterback. Steve, do you feel confident in saying that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I would 100% say that. You know, this is kind of why I was erring on the side of caution with the Jared Stidham thing. It's not that there's not a place for backup QBs. Who knows? Maybe he stays the backup and Zach Wilson's the guy that moves on because he's only there for one more year and they did not extend him, obviously. They didn't pick up the fifth-year option as they would have to pay him a substantial amount of money. But they didn't bring him in for nothing. He's definitely going to get a shot to make the team and to be the backup. So for the cost they got him for, I think it's pretty intriguing. You're talking about these rookie ticket autos for Zach Wilson, and now I've seen him go for less than that. You posted one for 30. You're talking about a card that was, what, 800? Maybe more at some point. And this just goes to show you how hard prospecting can bite you in the you-know-what if you pick the wrong guy, right? So $30 for a guy that is, you know, pretty young still and could be a starter at some point. Not bad. I think you can probably still get him less than that. 20 to 30 is not bad, but I think undoubtedly Nix is going to be the guy, and they still need a little work at the receiver position there.
Yeah. So speaking of the receivers, well, before I hop onto the receivers, as you can see, the offensive line ranking by FTN was 20th. Football Guys had them 12th. So they're not in the top 10, but I guess they're not in the bottom of the league either in terms of projections. Bo Nix did put up quite the numbers at Oregon, best comparable to Derek Carr. But he did throw for over 4,500 yards with a 77% completion percentage last year, 45 passing touchdowns to just 3 interceptions. So, you know, you gotta think that Sean Payton is intentionally drafting him, do a lot of that damage in the short and intermediate, kind of like he did with Drew Brees, you know, his claim to fame. So, I mean, you could find, like, his autos have come down a little bit. They were more expensive than this heading into the draft. I think people were maybe thinking that he was going to go even higher potentially, or maybe a different landing spot. It's a little bit of a competition here, Steve, but we both agree he's going to start. And yeah, I mean, if you're buying Bo Nix, why not go ahead? He doesn't have a Fanatics exclusive license, and he may not have one. So I think that's a big win. Denver's got a pretty big market, and the Zach Wilson cards you can handcuff them with are very cheap base rookie ticket autos for $30. So
I like it, man. I like it.
You would win either way. So
yeah, this is actually, I know that there's going to be some polarizing opinions on this one, but I think Javonte makes a big bounce back here. And there's a lot of reasoning behind that. You know, he just had surgery, not this past year, but this past offseason. And a lot of people thought he would miss time, when in actuality, he missed no time and played like a lot. He played a lot in the passing game. He played a lot in the running game, a lot of touches. So clearly they feel confident that the knee injury is healed. And now I think he will feel confident that the knee injury is healed, and with potentially a better either game manager, QB, et cetera, with Bo Nix, I think that that'll open the run up just a bit more.
Are you referring to Javonte Williams?
Yes.
So I am actually going to take an opposite stance. I think Javonte Williams is a big loser from this draft, and I'll tell you why, Steve. The injury does concern me. I get what you're saying. He did successfully recover. He took a big workload last year, 217 rush attempts. But, I mean, that was a massive ACL, LCL, and PLC ligament tears back in 2022. Look at his efficiency. It did drop. Now, his workload did go up, and the offensive line not great, but the efficiency did drop. And this is what I'll tell you, Steve. When these running backs tear their ACLs, they lose a lot of lateral quickness. And, you know, Javonte wasn't a straight line speed guy. He was known for breaking tackles. He was known for juking guys left and right and creating those yards after initial contact. But now I'm very concerned. And this is like the real kicker for me. They spend a fifth round pick on Audric Estime, who's a grinder back that has a similar athletic profile to that of Javonte Williams. And they, you know, Samaje Perine's there. Jaleel McLaughlin actually had 76 rush attempts last year on a 5.4 yards per carry basis. Plus, he was involved in the receiving game. So with Javonte being drafted in 2021, Sean Payton has no allegiance to him. And so I think we're hearing from Sean Payton's draft this year and what they've done that it's going to be more of a split and he's going to be in a competition with these other guys. So I think long term, maybe Javonte gets a little hype in the beginning and maybe that's a chance to sell. But I don't see as many people buying him anymore. And I think long term, like, Javonte's kind of down and out from this.
I mean, if that's a take that some people have, if you're in on him still, that provides a good opportunity to draft him later than you think you can get him for. But I think, and they even have a lower draft position for Estime. But to me, he's this year's Tank Bigsby. That's my opinion.
Interesting. Yeah, I mean, his athletic profile is not incredible, but he put up a ton of yards at Notre Dame. And the guy is just 20.6 years old. Like, he's basically an early declare. So anytime I see that, I'm like, all right, this guy knows what he's got. I mean, a fifth round on a running back is kind of normal in today's economy, you know. And for the guy to have put up 18 touchdowns. So there's his line from college right there last year at Notre Dame. He put up 1,300 rushing yards, 18 touchdowns, 17 receptions, 142 receiving yards. And he's an early declare, win the fifth round. So, I mean, I feel like it's significant. Like, people are buying his base Bowman first for $30. Like, they're spending some money on him, the 2023 ones. And then they're spending money on Jaleel McLaughlin, too. And he has very few rookie cards. I found this fire emoji from Optic that is hot off the retail Optic that is hot off the press out of Targets. This sold today in a buy now for $40 with a little fire emojis. Goes well with Denver Broncos, eh?
True. Yeah, beautiful card. Beautiful card.
And McLaughlin literally shredded it up in college at a small school. Jaleel McLaughlin ran for school record at Youngstown State. He ran for, let me remember, 1,588 yards and 15 touchdowns as a senior at Youngstown State. And so he's under the age apex as well. So all I'm saying is there's some good straight line speed, some good receiving ability, some good efficiency there. And I think it's going to be more of a depth chart battle. I mean, I don't feel comfortable drafting Javonte Williams anywhere, to be honest with you. I feel like I'd rather make a bet on one of these young guys. From a hobby perspective, I'd rather make a bet on one of these young guys because they have more scarcity and they could have more hype for doing less, you know, basically how I look at it.
Yeah, with the recency bias and the draft type, like, you're going to pay probably more or close to the same price for an SMA college uniform card as you would for a Javonte, and you can see it right there. You know what I mean?
So yeah.
Once the season starts, the odds of that 30 going to 60 are, you know, if he starts, are not that high. It's more realistic. It goes the other way. Whereas if Javonte starts and plays well, that 17 going to 35 is more realistic.
Yeah. They did also pick up Blake Watson. I see that Gabe is posting his stats up in the chat. He's an undrafted free agent from this year's draft. Also went to a small school. He's posting up his stats there, 1,152 yards. So it wasn't just Audric Estime they picked up. They also picked up Blake Watson at the end there. So I have him here at the bottom in text. Honorable mention. And he is from Memphis. That is the same school that Tony Pollard went to. So just got to, you know, throw that in there. But, I mean, they have 7 running backs on the depth chart, Steve, but not as many as they have wide receivers. There's 12 wide receivers on the depth chart currently. And we're going to break it down for you here, guys, because we got a lot of hype coming in. Courtland Sutton is still selling. It's just not as much. He is the veteran established alpha on the team. He is Mr. Consistent. He's Mr. Reliable. He can win those contested catches. But so Courtland Sutton, rookie ticket auto. And this was a playoff ticket. Yeah, that was numbered out of 49. This sold for $33, sealed by Panini. You also had it May 5th, his silver prism rookie auto, sell for $25. Interestingly enough, if you were able to find a 2018 true silver prism without the auto, it would probably sell for more because they're very hard to find from 2018. And it does have the RC shield, whereas the silver prism rookie auto does not. So that's an interesting one. But look at Marvin Mims heading into his second year now with no Jerry Jeudy. He seems to be getting a lot of the hype, even though Troy Franklin was drafted. And Troy Franklin is another stretch type receiver listed down here as flanker, but his comp, according to Player Profiler, is Jameson Williams. He is a tall, lanky guy, does have speed, but he put up like he was Bo Nix's guy in college, which so that chemistry is there. And his rookie autos are selling, man. They're moving.
Yeah. And, you know, referencing your graphic at the top, they're utilizing a lot of 3 receiver sets, which means that he'll most likely see work right away. And being the only receiver that Bo Nix has chemistry with gives him an immediate edge. Obviously, those other 2 guys will get in sync with him as well. But he gives him a little bit of like a sleeper status for a guy that's a 4th rounder.
Yeah, he does, man. A 4th round, but he went early. You know, he's got the 4.4 speed. He's 6'2". I think the NFL can help him put on some weight, you know, because he's only 176 pounds. At 6'2", cat's got to put on some weight. Guy put up 1,400 receiving yards last year and 14 touchdowns with Bo Nix. So I think he deserves a little bit of hype, a little bit of expectations. And with that comp, I would not sleep on him because as a rookie, he could put up some hype, really big hype, really fast from very few highlights with Bo Nix or Zach Wilson or whoever, you know. But looks like Mims is still getting a ton of hype as you see his Silver Prism rookie auto selling just a couple days ago for $47 in auction. That was a pretty beefy transaction. I was expecting the Mims to be more around 20 to 30, but they're closer to 50 right now, Steve. And I think the pivot play is definitely on Troy Franklin here. And it's too bad Tim Patrick, man. Tim Patrick just injury after injury because he started to really break out there. in 2021, had some hype heading into 2022, tore his ACL, then tears his Achilles in 23. And, of course, he's an undrafted free agent with very few rookie cards. Now he's over 30. I doubt there's going to be much coming back from that.
That's one of the sad what ifs, you know, what could be. If it was like Madden and you could just shut the injuries off, you know, what would have happened? But not realistic, unfortunately. You know, maybe, you know, these guys playing a little bit longer these days, maybe he gets another year or two if he can stay healthy, but the trend is not good.
No. And then at tight end, it's kind of interesting. They've got six tight ends on the depth chart right now. Two guys have been picked up this year. Fourth round pick on Nate Adkins, but then you've got Greg Dulcich on here, which I found a couple interesting solds from him, and then Adam Troutman, who comes over from New Orleans. Pretty decent draft capital back in 2018, but still has never really been able to produce significant numbers. Seems to be way more involved on the blocking side of things. But there has been hype for him in the past, but his rookie ticket autos right now sell for just $1.75. And it's wild, man. The tight end market on eBay is kind of like the Wild Wild West. I mean, look at these two Greg Dulcich auctions. You have the National Treasures out of 10 sell for $65 and a buy it now yesterday. But then the same day, you have a National Treasures rookie auto out of 99 get just one bid and sell for $1.95.
maybe Greg Dulcich bought the out of 10 for himself, maybe.
Yeah.
But, you know, again, we just got done talking about injuries. He's played 12 games in 2 years. You know, he played only two last year and 10 the year before. So he had a lot of hype coming into the league. But I don't know. It seems to have fizzled.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, I think there's an opportunity for Greg Dulcich to revive his career, but right now it's very kind of murky how many targets and who's going to get those targets at the tight end position. I just don't see a ton of targets at the tight end position. I also don't see the youth I want to target. I may have a little bit of Greg Dulcich exposure at that price, National Treasures out of 99 for $2.
Sure.
You know what I'm saying? But the same thing with Adam Troutman. But Greg Dulcich is a little bit younger. He's got rookie cards in Broncos uniforms, which I like. And then I definitely like the Troy Franklin play here, with especially if you're buying into Bo Nix at all, and maybe you're handcuffing with Zach Wilson. Why would you not have some exposure to Troy Franklin? I mean, that could be some big profit. You got to stack. It's gonna exponentially increase your profits. That's all.
Don't forget, there's always never ending talk about Courtland Sutton getting traded. So.
Yeah,
it happens every year, although this could honestly really, really, really actually be the year that happens. If you look at the team, Andy, look at the other two receivers, 21, 22. Look at the running backs. There was 20, 24, several 21s and 22s. Clearly, they're going the direction of youth, and they want to kind of start from the ground and build back up. So, you know, the 28-year-old receiver who's got several good seasons left in him is probably worth a lot more to a team trying to win now than a team trying to build now.
Yeah, they're definitely in rebuild mode. This is going to be a tough year for them. I'm actually ranking them fourth in this division, Steve. I don't know about you, but I'm ranking them fourth.
Yeah.
And I'm about to go to the team that I'm ranking second. I don't know who you're ranking second. But I'm ranking, as of right now, the Chargers second. And I don't know. I think a big part of that is the addition of Jim Harbaugh. It's just something about having Jim Harbaugh as your head coach. I mean, look at that guy. That's the guy that's going to take him to the promised land right there.
Yeah. Yeah, I like it. And I think that this is going to be between the offensive line improvement, coaching improvement, technically running game improvement, because Eckler was more of a receiver than a running back. you get an overall offensive improvement, which could be the catalyst for a Justin Herbert revival. Not that he ever died. He didn't fall off entirely, but there was a little bit of a pit on the way back to this point.
Yeah, dude, look at these prices on Herbert, man. So his rookie ticket auto raw, it's not quite as expensive as Joe Burrow, though. He's still behind Joe Burrow, but he's ahead of Love. He's ahead of Hurts. He's ahead of Tua for sure now. Tua's actually fall behind Love and Hurts. But raw rookie ticket auto auction just 10 days ago for $1,025. But check this out, dude. I didn't realize this, but Justin Herbert's true silver prism, non-rookie auto, but the true silver prism from the prism set is so hard to convert from raw to PSA 10, only an 18% conversion rate there from raw to PSA 10. So many people have tried. There's actually been over 1,000 submissions of this card, and only a small handful, only 100 or so of them have come back PSA 10s. Okay. And because of that, they sell for $1,200 on average, Steve. Just insane amount. That's more than Purdy. That's more than CJ Stroud at 800. I mean, this we're talking big time money for the true silver prism PSA 10 Justin Herbert. And you can barely find, like, I scrolled and scrolled and scrolled and scrolled, man, and I could not find a raw one because, you know, people are chasing this kind of gold right here.
Yeah, that's huge. That's huge. I think that you're starting to see, especially now with even 2023 Prism, that the true silver for a card is becoming a lot more desirable, I think, even than ever before.
And check this out. So I went and pulled up his Optic Holo market here in our Keep 'em web app, and look how much more common this card is. I mean, you've got about 5,000 submissions, 55% conversion rate from raw to PSA 10. And the PSA 10 is going to sell for about $250 as a result.
Damn.
Just so much lower. The nines are 100. And it's like those sell consistently. There's no advantage from the raw to the nine. But I got to think, much like CJ Stroud, there would be a big advantage to having a raw Justin Herbert silver prism if you're a seller, or if you can find one for just $200 or less, because that's the key, man. Like, you got to be able to find one that's like reasonably priced, because the nines sell for 236 on average. Well, what, 225 average. Very popular cards, transacted 49 times in the past 6 months, so very popular. But you got to be able to get in a raw one like 200 or less for it to really be worth your while, because chances are it's going to be a nine.
So what Andy's saying is, if you sent one in and got a nine and felt you unjustly got a nine instead of a 10, it may be to your advantage to maybe roll the dice. And because we've seen it happen a lot where somebody was in a different mood that day and they got a better grade.
Crack it out, man, because and sell the raw one, because I'm just going to come out and say it, because the raw one people may pay $400 or $500 for, with the allure of it getting a 10, just like CJ. We saw that with CJ Stroud.
Yeah.
So that's definitely a play. And I love the offensive line rankings here. They're pretty consistent between FTN and Football Guys. They had them ranked 8th and 11th. So somewhere around the back end of the top 10. The Easton Stick cards are very cheap, Steve. He's got a pretty decent athletic profile. So if something were to happen to Herbert, I mean, I think it's a solid play. Obviously, as a backup quarterback, it may not happen. Herbert's been pretty sturdy. But you got a pretty run-dominant, like, coaching profile here. Greg Roman, former Ravens offensive coordinator, on one of the teams that, like, led the league in rushing yards. He was Ravens OC for years. And Jim Harbaugh, we all know his resume. You know, a lot of establishing the run going on there.
Yeah, and I think that people are fading them a little bit, just kind of thinking that they're just going to abandon the pass game altogether. I mean, this isn't college football. It's just not going to happen.
All right. So this is a fun one because the Chargers running back, there's a lot of ambiguity. You've got J.K. Dobbins. I mean, look at this just, I mean, receipt here of injuries. This is brutal, man. ACL tear, ACL surgery rehabilitation, ACL surgery rehabilitation. Kept him out all kinds of time in 2022. And then tore his Achilles in week one of 2023. I mean, it's brutal, man. That is brutal. Now he's 25, Steve. Do you think he's done?
They don't think so. I mean, they brought him in. And,
there's people in the hobby that don't think so, too.
Bill of health. I mean, obviously, if you were betting based on his track record, there would be some reservation as to whether he can stay healthy or not. But we have seen when he is healthy, he's definitely one of the top backs in the league. But it's just a matter of, can he stay healthy? I think at this point, that's really the only question. They know how good he is, but can he stay healthy?
Yeah, can he stay healthy? If he can stay healthy, there could be a nice little opportunity here. Some people are buying. Like, the most recent sold of his rookie ticket auto was this Optic Blue out of 75. I believe it was a PSA 9 that sold for 70. So I was like, all right, that's not bad. But then the last base rookie ticket auto was April 17th for $19. So they're not buying much, but they are buying, and his prices could be lower. So there's still some people leaving a light on for him. There's still some people buying Gus Edwards, undrafted free agent from 2018. Gus the Bus, now 29. He's still selling some cards out there. I'm sure he's picked up quite a few fans both fantasy and from the Ravens, kind of grinding out those 10-point games. But this is where the hype starts to get real, man. With Kamani Vidal drafted in the sixth round this year at 22 years old, you see his metrics. They have him best comparable to Isaiah Pacheco. So everybody's chasing this athletic profile, this upside here for Kamani Vidal, and he actually has nothing on I take that back. He's got a couple things on TCDB, but he's also being actively released in the new Leaf and Pro Set sets.
Yeah, don't forget, Andy, the great nephew of Hank Aaron.
Kamani Vidal?
Yeah.
There you go, man. Athleticism runs in his veins.
Yeah, I think Spiller is an afterthought, but I think Vidal may mix in behind, in the number two spot a little bit. Unless, of course, Dobbins gets injured, then he may work in as a number one, realistically.
So currently, Kamani Vidal has 278 different rookie cards. A lot of those are very, very rare, serial numbered out of one of ones and stuff from a 2023 Leaf Trinity. That's what you can see here at this top card. They're pretty cheap still, but there are some cards that they scale up in scarcity. The more rare they get, the more expensive they get. You can see they are selling. There's been quite a few transactions today, so it's only a matter of time with that few rookie cards, Steve, that the prices start to climb and climb, you know, to the where they get into like that $20, $30 range. Because I have seen other 20, because we're getting ready to talk about the Chargers, wide receivers, and Ladd McConkey, and he was another guy that had very few. As you'll see, there is upside for these Sage high series number cards that don't have serial numbers. If the player pops out enough, this could become upwards of 20 to 30, somewhere between 20 and 40, depending on the size of the breakout. So buying them at $8, my recommendation is stay at 10 or under for these. There is upside.
Here's another one, and I know you don't have a slide for this, but Joseph brings up a good point, and I was actually planning to talk about this anyway. Not so much with Rashawn Slater, but Joe Alt. And there's a reason behind that. Not a lot of people buy O linemen, but go look up his closest comparable. Joe Thomas is a guy that he was compared to in the draft. Hall of Fame lineman Joe Thomas. Look at some Joe Thomas rookies, Andy, and they're incredibly expensive, hundreds of dollars, in fact, in many cases. So that could be a nice pivot play, especially if you can find them on the cheap.
Exactly, man. And yeah, there's nothing like having a corner left tackle or right tackle. You know, I mean, that's huge. So spend that early draft capital on Joe Alt was huge. That's another indication of, you know, that Greg Roman, Jim Harbaugh thought process. But like Joel says, the run game is going to open the pass game. So we're definitely doing like a full Charger stack. I would say if you think the Chargers are going to exceed expectation, then definitely go for a full Chargers stack is what I recommend. The Herbert market, I mean, I would attack the low-hanging fruit there, the raw Prism Silver if you can for 200 or less, or an Optic Holo. I think the Optic Holo has got to go up a little bit. You know, at one point in time, that was a $500 PSA 10 for Justin Herbert, and that's where it's at for Joe Burrow. So I think the Optic Holo for Justin Herbert definitely has some juice to squeeze out of it if this team turns things around in 2024. And the wide receivers are going to be a big part of it, Steve. They have no more Keenan Allen, no more Mike Williams. But you draft your second, number two pick in the second round on Ladd McConkey out of Georgia. This guy's an incredible route runner. He's not really profiled to Julian Edelman like a lot of people have thought. This guy can be moved inside or outside. Because he does have some, like, Ladd McConkey has some decent size to him. You know, he's 6 foot. So, yeah, I mean, I'm excited for Ladd. I think he instantly becomes the best talent in the receiving room. He's young. He's got the, like, I mean, incredible feet, man. Incredible feet, incredible separation ability. Some injury concerns, but there's injury concerns with Xavier Worthy. There's injury concerns with all these guys. So, my thought process is I plan to flip these guys heading into the season. I mean, unless he gets injured in camp, that's just bad luck, right, Steve? Sure. I mean, I can't do anything about that. But where I'm planning to make my money on the Kamani Vidals, the Ladd McConkeys, these young guys that are just steaming up draft boards, they're steaming up people's expectations of being a number one asset in their room for their team, is to flip them heading into the season.
Yeah, McConkey is an interesting one because, you know, just based on, you know, historic data for the last few years, you look at just Ladd McConkey and you think, you know, Thielen, Welker, Edelman, you know, you see a white dude as a receiver and you're like, oh, he's got to be like an inside guy. He plays slot. He's a short route runner, da-da-da-da-da. But it's a different time, Andy. The game's changing. The players are changing. And you're right. He's probably the most versatile receiver they have, maybe even the best receiver they have already as a rookie. Josh Palmer's a guy that the team just absolutely loves, and he's not going anywhere. He did have some injury problems last year, plus kind of buried on the depth chart too. So this may be like a good make or break season for him, but he's going to be the clear number two, at least to start the year. So I'm curious to see what happens with him. Brendan Rice, I know, is pretty interesting. I know that he had a pretty interesting story about when they called him. He actually had a friend of his pass away, and he was at a funeral or a wake, I guess, when they called him to say that he was making the team. And kind of an interesting motivational story a little bit. He was really emotional about making the team and just seems like a genuinely good dude. So I think that alone gives him a little bit of hype. You'll have people rooting for him to do well and make the team.
And yeah, this guy's I think market is super interesting, right? I mean, as Jerry Rice's son, as a guy that put up 12 touchdowns last year from USC, maybe a lot of people don't know. I mean, because he really didn't get a ton of targets or a ton of opportunity before that. He transferred from Colorado to USC after his sophomore year, got more playing time, but never like broke out, like never got more than a 20% target share. It was never the alpha on that team, you know, playing with what's his name there, USC. So, but I mean, 12 touchdowns last year, man. And just the whole story, like look at some of these Leaf Pro sets that are coming out. Leaf Pro Set 2023, These are recent auctions that just ended on May 4th. Looking pretty sharp too here. $100 for this one, $43 for this one. They're both serial numbered out of 10 or less, so keep that in mind, you know. Yeah, I mean, people are definitely buying Brendan Rice.
I like it, man. It's not a, you know, it's not like one of those teams where you're like, oh, look, they have Davante Adams. You know where the pass volume's going to go. It's kind of an open book here, and I think we kind of have a general idea, but that's kind of what makes this offense so intriguing. A lot of brand new coach, new roster in a lot of ways, new running backs, so new line.
Yeah, and then, of course, they pick up their old trusty Michigan wide receiver. This is a total Jim Harbaugh move, obviously. Cornelius Johnson didn't get drafted. I mean, he was just a solid, reliable wide receiver at Michigan, and the guy's 23 and a half years old. So, of course, Harbaugh picks him up. And because he went to Michigan, now he's back with Harbaugh. He does have 2024 Sage cards that were just released. I think this guy is probably better than Quentin Johnson, can contribute to the team in a bigger way. So, I mean, I think that we could see, you know, shake up in this depth chart by the end of the year. A guy like Brendan Rice, a guy like Cornelius Johnson could definitely vault up this depth chart. And if Ladd McConkey does get injured, hopefully you made your money in early September. and then these guys move up even more. And, you know, now all of a sudden you got Jerry Rice's son being this year's Puka Nacua, you know. I mean, hey, stranger things have happened. We see it every year. And I'm here to remind you that don't buy a green prism Quentin Johnson for $100.
No.
Saw this sell 2 days ago. He's like the most hyped guy on the team. Plus, he's a second-year player. But people are still paying stupid money for his cards because he's got that draft capital. When you could get a Josh Palmer, if you really wanted to make the chalk bet, just go for Josh Palmer and buy his optic rookie ticket auto for $15. I mean, like, come on. Oh, but if you really wanted to go for, like, swing for the fences, you're either buying Ladd McConkey, which I absolutely love this play of Ladd McConkey. Steve, shout out to James in the chat. This did not last long, but there was a out of 10 Panini instant that was released with Tiger Stripes and a rookie card logo from Panini with an autograph, with a rookie autograph. This is going to be like his first true Panini licensed rookie autograph. And it was numbered out of 10, and it was selling on Panini's website for $50.
Just all right.
Easy money, man. So that's why you guys want to get into the Discord server. Part of footballcardquest.com premium membership, because he posted that up in there. A few of us were able to take advantage and buy some before they sold out. I mean, it's only out of 10, man. And there's nothing on Panini's website anymore for Ladd. So
there's actually one more guy, but he just recently signed, DJ Chark, but I think he's at this point just off the radar. One thing that's notable is I really, really thought that they would find a way to get Bowers on this team, given all the connections, given the fact that they needed just someone relevant in the passing game. They don't really have a notable tight end, but they signed two tight ends in the offseason, Andy. Hayden Hurst, who's basically coming off of like a near career-ending head injury, and then Will Dissly, who's a guy we've talked about in the past.
Yeah.
Ultra deep sleeper type play, but they signed him to a 3-year deal.
Hayden Hurst or Dissly?
Dissly.
Yeah. So, okay. Yeah. Let me fast forward to the tight end. I was just gonna, real quick before I do, the Ladd McConkey, I don't know if I mentioned it, but the Sage High Series is out for him. Like he's in the 2024 Leaf Metal. And the Sage High Series, this is really a good card to target for him right now. The silver foil ones are selling for $50 on average. So if you can get into the Ladd McConkey Sage High Series rookie auto market, I would want you to get in for more under 30. But if you can get in around 30 or under, I think it's got solid upside. All right, Steve, I pulled up the tight ends. Will Disley, 2018 fourth round pick, almost 28 years old. Rookie ticket auto is just $3. Doesn't like have an impressive athletic profile, but I mean, Donald Parham with the head injury has had some serious head injuries before. He's like a tall basketball player guy who's put up some interesting plays. But Hayden Hurst, man, that was a bad, scary injury he got. And then you've got a UDFA from 2022, and then Luke Benson, who's got nothing, a 2024 UDFA as well, 23 years old. But he's got some decent athleticism. Luke Benson's got some decent athleticism that interested me, but he's got nothing right now.
To me, the Disley play seems like a targeted acquisition. Like there's obviously a lot of guys they could have signed, right? But they didn't just sign him, and they signed him to a 3-year deal. So there's something I think that they see in him, and maybe it's the blocking aspect. It could be both, but obviously there's something they see in him that they feel like he's worth keeping around for a couple of years. So again, not potentially an earth-shattering play, but you can do worse at $2.85.
That's a spicy take. Luther Burden is a 2025 first round wide receiver draft prospect. That looks really, really good. He's on potential Heisman watch for 2024. But yeah, this is my thought too, Steve. You can't go wrong at that price, you know, so cheap. And they're definitely going to be.
If you're doing best ball and you draft Herbert, I mean, you could stack him at literally no cost at the very end.
All right, Steve, it's Raiders time. And I feel like Raiders were – I had the most fun breaking down the Raiders, man. It was so much fun breaking down the Raiders let's just get into it, man, because they've got your former offensive coordinator. So I'd love to hear your opinion on – new offensive coordinator for the Raiders, Luke Getsy. Before we dissect the quarterback, running back, wide receiver upside here, but head coach Antonio Pierce has really grown on me a lot. He really turned the team around after they fired Josh McDaniels last year. But now they bring in Luke Getsy, offensive coordinator, former of the Bears, who really was known for a run-heavy offense with the Bears, wasn't he, Steve? Like a drop-back style offense and a run-heavy offense.
Yeah, I feel like he was really dink and dunk too, which I guess with the two QBs you have, it makes more sense. It's hard to say if he was any good or not, Andy, because, we didn't have a quarterback that really fit into his scheme per se. But Fields was kind of like a, you know, find the first look, and if it doesn't work, I'm going to run the ball kind of thing. So it's really hard to judge how efficient or inefficient he was, but hard to say. Probably failed us, but I think it was more the QB than anything.
Well, their offensive line ranking is all over the board. Football Guys has them projected at 24th, but FTN, Network Fantasy Network, and they're legitimate, and they use a lot of PFF analysis, film grades, and everything, has the Raiders line projected as 5th heading into this upcoming year. So I'm not sure what to think there, because they're both reliable sources and they're both updated their rankings just this past week. So yeah, I guess I'm going to say their O-line is supposed to be decent, but Aiden O'Connell, Steve, at the quarterback position has had better deep efficiency metrics last year, actually better passing efficiency, but Gardner Minshew did throw the ball a lot. I'll give him that. He had a larger sample size. So it's kind of that to offset it. But Aiden O'Connell put up some streaks of passes that makes you think he's going to win this starting job, man. Who do you think is going to win this starting job between Aiden O'Connell and Gardner Minshew?
I personally think it should be Minshew, but from everything I'm hearing, the coaching staff likes O'Connell. I think if it was up to Davante Adams, it would be Minshew. He's got that. If you look at how he dialed in last year to a single receiver, which is kind of what Davante Adams would want, but it's not up to him exclusively. You know, Davante Adams having one of his career worst years, under Aiden with Aiden O'Connell as his QB. So I think Minshew is going to be the better short-term play, but I think that they may still be feeling out O'Connell and wants to see what he can do.
Yeah, I think they go with him because it's like, hey, we got this guy on a rookie contract. Like, he's the guy we drafted. Let's give him a shot. Like, you know, maybe initially Gardner Minshew has you know, maybe a start. Maybe he does start. But I don't know. I tend to think it's going to be Aiden O'Connell now as well. I'm swinging back towards the Aiden O'Connell side of things. Just kind of trying to take an unbiased opinion. I am a Gardner Minshew fan, a fanboy. But, you know, I think AOC is a good play, but he is twice as expensive as Gardner Minshew. As you can see here, 2019 Silver Prism Rookie Auto Gardner Minshew. He's only got 919 different rookie cards. Aiden O'Connell's got 3,350. But the Aiden O'Connell Silver Prism Rookie Auto is selling for 85 compared to the Gardner Minshew at 42. The base Silver Prism, the true Silver Prism for Gardner, $20.99. PSA 9 is about the same raw. I would imagine the 10 is going to be selling closer to 100, probably 80. But the 10 for Aiden O'Connell selling for 200. And the raws, though, this is what's so interesting, Steve. I'm going to zoom in on this one. Does that look off center to you? This is a PSA 10. It's off center, man.
I've seen some much worse. That one doesn't seem
okay. Well, I've seen a few off center Aiden O'Connell Silver Prism PSA 10s. And I've also looked at a ton of raw ones. They're a dime a dozen, dude. There's a lot on eBay, and they're all between 10 and 20 bucks. You can pick them all day up all day long for 10 to 20 bucks. That's a $400 card for CJ Stroud, but it's only like, you know, a $60 to $80 card for Anthony Richardson. So let's put our, you know, make sure we set our expectations appropriately here. And then also pull in Will Levis in there and Bryce Young, and you're, you know, looking at $30 to $50 cards. So Will, you can probably get cheaper, even around that 15 to 20. But there's a lot of them, man. But the initial conversion data is below 50%. So I think what you're going to find is a similar thing where the 10s get more and more expensive for Aiden O'Connell, true Silver Prism, and the raws get more expensive as they grade more off-center ones, but the nines just kind of... So I would recommend you target a raw for 10 to 15 bucks, or you buy a PSA 10. Just fork out the cash to buy the PSA 10. But I definitely would want to get it under this price for sure. But if you get it for 150, still a ton of upside. This is a silver prism, not a base prism. So silver prisms have a significant level of scarcity and popularity and desirability. I mean, this has become the card for like the base tier of rookie cards, Steve.
You know, it's interesting because I think that the Stroud effect of not having autos in Prism has kind of carried over into other true silvers because people are looking at that as like that much more important of a card.
Appreciate Filthy posting up the Vegas stats. Minshew's minus 400 to start in Vegas right now. Aiden is plus 270. So, yeah. Big time.
I mean, right. Here's the thing about O'Connell. He finished. I looked into the game log after Joseph posted up those numbers. And that's definitely respectable. I mean, to be fair, they played the Broncos and Colts the last 2 weeks. The week before they played the Chiefs, he was 9-for-21 with 62 yards. So, I get it. I mean, he definitely finished the season way better than he started, but we don't have a very big sample size to go off of.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the thing, and it's tough, man. It's tough. But with the running back position, I'm loving Zamir White. The only thing I'm not loving is his card prices have gone up a lot, Steve, since the draft. I'm like, oh, man, I got to stop talking about Zamir White. But no, it's good because, I mean, look at this. Zamir White, Silver Prism, Rookie Auto, now up to the $40 range. This was a $20 range before the draft, 20 or under. And his Silver Prism Optic Contenders Rookie Ticket Auto, 45. So Silver Prism Rookie Auto, Silver Optic Contender Rookie Ticket Auto, neck and neck there. The Optic Contenders wins out a little bit. But it was good to see those same those values, those that $40 to $50 range. And then even his true Silver Prism, man, getting some love, Rob, $5. That means, you know, if you get one of these as a PSA 10, it's going to be worth $60 to $80. So it's a nice little card to have. Could have a little bit more upside to that even, because I look at the depth chart behind him. Alexander Mattison flopped on his face last year, Steve. I mean, he was exposed like you would not believe in Minnesota, and he was let go. So now he ends up here, and look how cheap his Optic. This was an Optic Blue out of 75, too, $11.50. Believe it or not, Amir Abdullah, almost 31 years old now from 2015, has a Prism Draft Picks rookie auto that sold for more than that Alexander Mattison. What? I kid you not, man.
You know, wild enough. I mean, I'm not advocating for Mattison in any way, but he's always excelled as a complimentary player and not done as well with a featured role. So maybe this is actually a good pickup, realistically, because they don't need to use him as a bell cow here.
No, I'm curious to see what type of role he has. I feel like, you know, Antonio Pierce is a smart head coach, but he's got a lot of allegiance here to Zamir White. I think Zamir White's got a pretty nice role, but they also did spend a 6th round pick on Dylan Lobb, which I don't know why I couldn't find his age. Age unknown.
It's
early 20s. But Dylan, he has very, very few rookie cards. You know, he kind of looks like Rex Burkhead. That's kind of like his comp, Rex Burkhead, satellite back, plus. And he's got some Sage High series that just came out, and that's it. And he's only got a couple. You can see they're hand serial numbered out of 100. Like, he's not even a feature player in that at all. So he's got very few. But they are selling. I got to say, man, Sage has stepped it up and delivered in a corner of the market where Panini has failed. Because I was talking to the dealers today that I bought my Panini Draft Night instance from, for like J.J. McCarthy. I can't remember the other guys. I think I bought some Ladd McConkeys and stuff too, and maybe some Xavier Worthies too. But those aren't going to be to me till mid to end of June. You know, and here we have Sage coming through with all the guys that had literally nothing, not all of them, but a lot of them. Now they have cards. Like, at least they have cards. So good job on Sage.
Age unknown, like some Marvel Comics hero.
Look at that. Gabe Davis came through. Friggin' Gabe, man. That brain of his is just massive. 24.8. years old at the start of week one.
Boom. He's already at the age apex, Andy. Watch out.
I know, man. So I'm out on Dylan Lobb, man. 14 bids on that card. Ooh, buddy.
Definitely not everyone out on him, but you know, here's the thing. There's a contrarian play here, and obviously there's no pro uniform cards, but he could be getting RB2 looks if the team is not sold on Mattison. And I don't think Amir Abdullah is not the two either. There was a point, Andy, where Rex Burkhead was a respectable RB2 in the league. You know?
That is true, man. Rex Burkhead had his moment in the sun, for
was
sure.
Was he behind Arian Foster for a while?
Yeah, Rex Burkhead kicked the can down the road for a while.
We got
Devontae Adams. This is where, all right, I got some. So let me pull that back up. Apologies. This is where I really want to shed some light on some recent sold data that I found for our top sponsor, CGC Cards. So totally happenstance. Just stumbled upon this data by looking into Davante Adams' market. Love this research, man. I really enjoy this research because you learn so much. But found the rookie ticket auto sold for Davante Adams recently. PSA 10, March 24th, $191.50. BGS 9.5, same exact card, auto 10, $135. Buy it now. Marked down from $170. All right, seller wanted to move May 1st, motivated. April 26th, between those two, was a CGC Cards 10 with the new holder, crystal clear holder, extremely thick plastic, great labels, got the hologram on the back, the barcodes, the whole nine yards. Same exact card, CGC 10, sold for $200 in a buy it now. So that was actually $10 more than the PSA 10. I was just impressed. Wanted to highlight that CGC Cards, you guys can grade with them today. Bulk submission, 25 cards or more for $12 per card. Check it out at cgccards.com.
Yeah. And, you know, and it was an effortless plug because honestly, the data speaks for itself there, man.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's exactly what I want to do. Just let the sold data speak for itself. I mean, they only started grading sports cards in 2021. So it's going to take time for more of that data to come out. But the data that I consistently find more and more, it looks really good, man. I'm not going to lie. So, yeah, his raw ones sell for $75. And then his Prism Silvers are hard to find, Steve. I found a PSA 10 that closed May 5th for $160. I found a couple nines that are selling for around $50. But I can't find any 10s. And believe it or not, can't find any raw True Prism Silvers. Believe it or not, Davante Adams' Topps Chrome Rookie Auto sells for the same price or a little bit less than the Rookie Ticket Auto. I think that's because it has a harder time grading out. Those Topps Chrome from 2014 have a hard time grading out.
Yeah, I mean, if you're doing this from if you're doing sports cards for a longer term play, I mean, just look at the price of those Davante Adams that Andy's got pulled up and look at just some of these Bowman firsts or Sage autos that are coming out that are in the same price range that you could say with like a 99% certainty they'll never be anywhere at the accomplishment level of Davante Adams. So I mean, in my opinion, those, yeah, they're not cheap. 75 is not cheap, 160 is not cheap, but in perspective, very cheap considering the caliber of player and actually the kind of card that I think would appreciate over time.
Yeah, believe it or not, this is like a good $50 on average cheaper than Mike Evans at this point from the same draft class. So I was pretty interested to see that. And Mike Evans has got more cards than Davante too. So I was actually like, that's interesting. Davante seems to have lost some value here in the offseason. And I think it's quarterback uncertainty and people don't really know what to expect. And Luke Getsy didn't exactly inspire a bunch of promise into the offense, you know, but Aiden O'Connell, if there's a guy that could be a drop back quarterback, it could be Aiden O'Connell. And Davante Adams, obviously is going to get open, even though he's 31. I mean, it's like, you know, Mike Evans, they both feel like they still have a lot of juice left. And then you got Steve Jacoby Myers at 27 and a half years old, undrafted free agent, $20 Silver Prism rookie ticket autos. He's got very few cards, so it drops off pretty significantly. Trey Tucker has got less than $10 Silver Prism rookie autos. And then you've got over here, Jeff Foreman has got a lot of speed like Trey Tucker. You got a couple stretch and speed guys here. On the back end, Ramel Caton actually has some interesting speed too. Went to Tennessee, but Jeff Foreman, undrafted free agent this year, but he did run a 4.440. I think Ramel Caton ran at like a 4.4740. So they picked up a couple speedsters there at the end, and yeah, nobody's really buying Christian Wilkerson. So those are like your top targets. Definitely a lot of easy upside in the two or the three, but there's also juice to squeeze out of that Davante Adams price right there.
There we go.
This is where we get some exciting fireworks to finish off the AFC West breakdown here at tight end for the Raiders. Brock Bowers drafted at number 13 overall, not even 22 years old yet. Look at that comp right there. Travis Kelce, 4.48 40-yard dash, 98th percentile speed score, an absolute beast at Georgia, University of Georgia. So, how are you feeling here, Steve? I mean, there's a big, big price difference between Michael Mayer, who they just spent an early round two pick on the year before, a beast in his own right from Notre Dame, but never produced at the level Brock Bowers did. And Brock Bowers is been touted as a generational receiving tight end talent. And as you can see, his true Bowman Chrome University first rookie autos, $100. And his his second year Bowman University Chrome non-serial number, those are still selling for $40. So he's got some good hype, man. He's got a good head of steam heading this season. Michael Mayer has gone very cheap, but it's still selling, believe it or not. Still selling.
Yeah, there's not a lot of pass volume yet in this offense. Maybe that changes. But Bowers is probably, he'll be out there presumably almost every down, but especially in three wide receiver sets, which would put him as like the third, not necessarily the third option, but the third receiver in those sets, whereas Meyer will probably still be on the field as a tight end. So I don't think that it's necessarily a good thing for Meyer, but it's not necessarily bad either. I don't think that he got a lot of pass volume last year anyway, as it is, but he'll still have a role on this team, but it's definitely going to inhibit his growth, at least initially.
So you think they're going to keep him?
Yeah, I think so.
He's a good blocker, so I know that's definitely got some promise. All right, so it looks like, can you confirm this? Joseph says the Raiders just signed Michael Gallup. Is that another one of those, like, confirmed but not on paper?
No, I think it was confirmed. I read it last week somewhere. Let me see.
Okay.
He's on their website.
So Michael Gallup is going to slide in at the number four role at this point in his career and age and what he's been able to produce. He slide him in at the number four role. So don't get too excited. I wouldn't spend more than Trey Tucker prices on him. But yeah, he does have this whole arsenal of cards from 2018.
Hey man, this is the best time for me to list my PSA 10 Michael Gallup field level silver, baby.
Yeah, no, it really is. You may be able to sell him for like a decent price on the news.
Joseph saying, what about Max Crosby? You know, it's actually interesting because I had a discussion about him today. Andy, you may not be aware of this, but obviously defensive players not printed in a lot of sets. But Max Crosby, serial numbered cards, even out of like 199 or 299 base serial numbered cards, range from like $20 to $30.
Yeah, I believe it. Yeah. I mean, there's so many defensive players that get a lot of demand. If this was my full-time job, I would be breaking down all the defensive players as well. So, guys, make sure you're supporting the channel and subscribe to our premium membership so we can turn that into reality. I can break down all defensive players, but I will be doing like, you know, top 10, top 20 videos on defensive players at some point this summer. But most fantasy leagues don't have defensive players. I know we have a couple dynasty leagues. We have defensive players. And but there's a huge football card market. I mean, these guys are selling for a lot of money, even the centers. But Max Crosby, such a dynamic character and very good at his job. So he's definitely going to have
like $100-$150 from Mosaic.
Gabe says we don't want that defense.
Come on, it wins championships, Gabe.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's Hey, I like to let data speak for itself, and I love to go through every player's data. But can you imagine? I mean, we'll probably go through the top 350 to 400 players this method throughout the summer. If I add in defense, I'm going through another 400 to 500 players, you know? Right. And there's a lot of market there. Like and that's why I will look at like the top 10 to 20, man. Cause if you look at some of the prices on TJ Watt and Micah Parsons and stuff, I mean, they go for a lot of money. So we definitely keep our eye out for that. And what we're going to do now, Steve, we're going to wrap up this stream and wrap up the AFC West breakdown, and we're going to hop over to the other stream and draft on Underdog Fantasy. You ready, my man?
That is right. I'm excited. There's 4 football drafts going right now, Andy, so we got a lot to pick from. Guys, if you're sticking around, hang on for a little bit. We're going to pop into some drafts here and try to jump in with us.
Yeah, buddy. All right, we're going to sign off here, guys. If you want more analysis just like this, but for the other sports, basketball, baseball, etc., go check out SportsCardStrategyNoOffseason.com, ran by my good friend Paul Hickey. He does an excellent job. He's putting out market analysis content, all the other sports every week. He's putting out daily content now, so go check out his channel. But we're going to sign off, but refresh the Football Card Quest feed because we're about to hop into a live fantasy draft.
Yes, sir.
Boosh.
See you in a minute.